I had the joy of going to China about 6 years ago and went to see Brother Ray, and we went to the Great Wall too. And that bobsled that they let you ride down on, they would not let me ride it. They said, "You're too old." Man, I was only 65 then, and I've even climbed the South Teton since then. But they wouldn't let me ride that bobsled, and I was really embarrassed. That was terrible. But sure, enjoyed going to China and seeing Brother Ray, and what a marvelous work that was. Had the joy of preaching there in Brother Ray's church, and actually they commissioned two families to go out and start churches there when we were there. And so we enjoyed that a lot, and I'm happy for Brother Dameron that he gets to be there and be with the Kims. And, of course, the Kims are very, very dear friends of ours too, my wife and I and family. But I always thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach anywhere, but it's such a special blessing to come to Fairhaven and preach here. It's an honor to be here at Fairhaven. You all have always been so loving and so kind to my family. And it's interesting that when we come here, everybody knows me because I've spoken here a few times. And everybody says, "Hello, Brother Bottrell, hello, Brother Bottrell, hello, Brother Bottrell, hello, Brother Bottrell." And I have no idea who in the world it is. And I just say, "Hello, Doc, hello, Sue," you know, or whoever. And I do know a few names now, a lot more since we've been around here quite a bit recently than I used to know. But it is good to be here, and I love this place. So many great memories and so many things that I can wake up in the middle of the night and think about Fairhaven and smile. I just think of all kinds of anecdotes and different things that have been a blessing to my heart and my life throughout my life. I've prayed a lot about what's to preach tonight. I don't know how much I prayed, but a couple hours, I'm sure, altogether. 5 minutes here and five there and two or three here and three or four there and so on. And I prayed a lot, and a little over 8 years ago, I spoke in one of the chapels here and preached a little bit about what I'm preaching about tonight. And I just feel God kept bringing me back to this message and wanted me to develop it for this meeting this evening, and I do feel deeply that this is what God wants me to preach. And whenever He leads you to preach on something, I think the good thing to do would be to obey the Lord. And so I'm going to be speaking on this subject tonight. I'd like you to turn to three passages of Scripture. One's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and then Genesis chapter 13, and Joshua 24. I'll mention where we're going next after Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. You teenagers that are here tonight, many of you will be involved in Empowered Youth. If you're a teenager here in this church and you're not going to be here in Empowered Youth throughout this week, shame on you. You ought to do everything you can to take advantage of these great things. But, you know, you teenagers and the rest of you all also that are, any of you that happen to show up here, you'll be making some choices this week. Some of your choices will be great choices, but there will probably be a few that will make terrible, terrible choices this week. And that will make the difference of being a successful Christian and a failure in the Lord's work. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, let's look at verse number 15 through verse 19. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13, verse number 10 through 13. Genesis 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then Joshua chapter 24, only one verse there, verse 15, Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a lot of things in life that you don't have any control over and you don't choose. For instance, you didn't choose your name, your first name. Some of you ladies maybe help to choose your last name if you're married. You didn't choose whether you're going to be a boy or a girl. Some people think that they're making that decision later, but they aren't. You didn't choose what color your hair was, unless you're Dennis Rodman, you know, and purple hair, something like that. You didn't choose the color of your eyes. You can get contact lenses and put them in and make it look like they're a different color, but your eyes are the color that they are. You didn't choose where you were going to be born. I was born in Taylorville, Illinois. You know why? I wanted to be near my mother. You didn't choose your height either. However tall you are, that's how tall God made you. You didn't choose who your parents are. You didn't choose where you were going to live until you got old enough to leave home and choose a place. But to start out with, your parents chose that. When I was central Illinois, in Taylorville area, then my dad bought a farm in Missouri, and my mom and dad moved to Missouri when I was in the seventh grade. Guess what? I went with them. I didn't have a whole lot of choice. And so you didn't choose that, and you didn't even choose what language you were going to learn when you started to grow up. Your parents, whatever they learned and wherever, whatever country they were in, and most of you in the United States, of course, you learned English. But one of the hardest things to do in life is to make right choices. So many people ruin their lives by making wrong choices, by deciding to do the wrong thing or choosing the wrong spouse, or just a multitude of different things that you'll make decisions on over your life. Some of you teenagers in this youth conference this week, in this Empowered Youth Conference, you're going to be listening to sermons, and you're going to have to make choices of whether you're going to serve God or whether you're not. Some of you are going to decide whether you're going to go to Fairhaven Baptist College to further your education or whether you're not. And so some of the decisions that you make this week will determine the direction of your life for the rest of your life. Remember how important this week is to make proper choices. Many of you, you've been with your wife when she went shopping, and maybe she was going to buy a pair of shoes or a dress, and you followed her here and there and here and there and here, and she was having a hard time making up her mind, and you feel like just saying, well, just get that one and let's go. You know, that kind of thing. But some decisions are hard to make. We do not like somebody making choices for us. Imagine if you went into, hey, you heard about this new restaurant. So you went in the restaurant and you get in there and the waitress says, we're glad that you're here. You sit down and they bring you a plate of food. And you say, what's this? He says, well, we do it different here. You don't order. We just bring you what we want to bring you. You probably wouldn't go back to that restaurant. There are some choices that you like to make. When I was a freshman in college, I was engaged to a girl to be married. And her name was Betty Sue. Now, my wife's name is Becky. After I broke up with her and started going with Becky, once in a while I would call her Betty. Until I got a bunch of bruises on the back of my head. You know, name pretty similar. But she one time, I was going to Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I wouldn't recommend that school now, but back then I went there. She was going to Kirksville State Teachers College in Northeast Missouri. And she wanted me to come to college there and prepare to be a doctor. I said, no, it's not what I'm going to do. I'm here. And it wasn't very long and we broke up. But the decisions that you make today will determine what will happen in your life tomorrow. The word choose or choice is used in the Bible about 80 times. Most of the time that it's used, God is telling people what to do. That's a great book that we have, the Word of God, that tells us what to do. Tells us how to make decisions. It gives us guidance in finding a wife. It gives us guidance in finding God's will for our life. Most of the choices that we have in life ought to be left up to God. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go to college? How do you want me to act? What do you want me to say? Who is there around that you want me to talk to? And so on. When we get saved, then we give up most of our rights to choice. If you're a good Christian, you do. By choosing Christ, it gives Christ the right to make your choices for you. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, you can't hardly make that verse say anything but what it says. You can't even leave out a word or two and hardly get anything different. It's pretty clear that God wants you to leave the choices, especially about the leadership in your life, up to God. Are you going to do that, kids? Are you going to do that, teenagers? Or have you already made up your mind what you're going to do with your life? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, we choose what job we're going to have. You may want to get a job at McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's or some place where you might get paid a lot. You'll decide what state you want to live in. When I first moved to New York about 17, 18 years ago, it felt like I was going into a communist country. I mean, really, because of the taxes and everything there. But you choose what state. You choose whether to obey or disobey. You choose whether to be honest or dishonest. You choose to be either kind or mean. You choose to be either happy or sad. You choose your diet. Well, at least some of you do. Some of you are pretty good at choosing the diet, I noticed, you know. And you choose to get saved or not to get saved. You choose to who you're going to marry. You choose whether you're going to live for God or whether you're not going to live for God. What are you going to do? What are your choices going to be this week? And folks, I'm addressing a lot of this to teenagers, but everyone can decide from this day forward to choose what God wants. You don't have to be a teenager to decide those things. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, let, and that's kind of like the word choose. It means about the same thing. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's a choice. Philippians 2, 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We're to choose that. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word let denotes a choice on your part. You are to choose what God wants you to choose. And he gives you so many examples throughout the Bible. All of these refer to our choice. The Bible is telling us to choose. What a book that we have, that we can open it up and find the guidance and the roadmap of how God wants us to live our life, of how he wants us, what he wants you to do with your life, and who he wants you to marry for your life. And all of these things are there. And when you follow God's plan, as Brother Perry said this morning, you'll be happy. When you don't follow God's plan, you're not going to have a happy life. And you're going to have a miserable time at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. And you'll have an eternity in hell if you're lost. Joshua in the Bible is instructing his people to make their choice of master. A master is to be served. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Choose ye this day who your master's going to be. Are you going to let God control your life, or are you going to control your life? Are you going to be in charge of what you do in your life, or are you going to let God be in charge of what you do in life? I encourage you to let God choose how you ought to live your life. There's a lot of people in the Bible examples, and I'm not going to go through too many of them tonight, but of bad examples of people that chose the wrong thing. I already read a passage there about Lot that chose the wrong direction. And Reuben and Gilead and Manasseh, they chose to live on the wrong side of the Jordan River. They didn't go into promised land, and they settled for the second best or third best or someplace wasn't God's best for them. They settled for something less than that. Are you going to settle in your life for second or third or fourth or 500th down the line of what God had planned for your life, and the happiness that he has for you and the joy that you have to live for God? Are you going to do what you want, or are you going to serve God and be happy? Lot chose to live in Sodom, and it cost him his family. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Early. That means when you're young. Psalm 90:14, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Oh, how we need to seek God early. God says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You know, forbid them not. I think I left that part out. That was a Bottrell version there. If you choose to live your life for yourself, you'll lose it, according to the Word of God. Matthew 16:25, and for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, we must follow God's choices. Find out what God's choices are and follow his choices. He has chosen that we become the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Has anybody accused you of acting like Jesus? Has anybody ever accused you of being like the Savior? Surely we ought to all live in such a way that once in a while somebody would say to you, that's what Jesus would have done. We ought to act like Jesus in such a so consistently that people would see Jesus in us. Be like him. He's chosen eternal life for us. He has chosen that we live holy lives. He has chosen that we worship him. You can say to the Holy Spirit, as he speaks to you this week, you can say yes and live a victorious, surrendered life. Or you can say no and start your life out being miserable the rest of your life. If somebody gave you a choice of being happy or sad, surely you would think yourself an idiot not to choose happiness. And there is a plan in the Word of God that can help you to have peace with God and be happy if we would just follow God's plan. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Let me ask you, you don't have a choice on what furniture your neighbor buys for their house. If I came to your house and I came in, I said, now that couch, you need to get rid of that stupid couch and we'll get a different color. That one is no good. Guess what? That's not my house and it's none of my business. It's not my choice. It's not my house. I don't own the house. I don't live in the house. I don't have a right making a choice about picking your furniture out or what color your walls are going to be. You can paint them. I bought a little house not long ago here in Chesterton, and somebody painted all of the walls in the basement red and black. Must have belonged to the occult or something. And it's going to take 30 gallon of white paint to cover it all up. It's amazing. But if I would have lived there, I would have said, that's stupid to paint everything that color. You know, but I didn't live there when it got painted, and they had the right to paint it any color they wanted. Guess what? You don't belong to yourself. Not if you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, then at the invitation time, you come forward and get saved. We'll show you how to get saved, and you can get born again. But if you're saved, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God, and He has every right. He bought you with a price. He paid for you. You can do with He can do with your life what He wants to do with your life, and you need to make sure and understand that so that you'll serve Him and let Him control your life. We belong to Him, and we have no choice but His choice. The songwriter put it this way, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Bear in mind, when you got saved, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, and He says, hand that person a tract. Witness to that guy over there. Be nice to them. Quit being so angry. And 1,000 other instructions that the Holy Spirit gives you throughout the day. He speaks to you. He leads you and He guides you and He directs you through your life. Oh, if we would just learn to obey the Holy Spirit in our life. The Holy Spirit will make choices for you if you'll permit Him to. He'll tell you what to do. He'll lead you to where to go. And He'll help you to have a good marriage. And He'll help you to be kind. And He'll help you to have characteristics that are Christ-like. And He'll speak to you most of the time in a still small voice, tapping you on the shoulder and saying, hey, you shouldn't be acting that way. You shouldn't be acting that way. When you got saved, a lot of your choices were made for you. Your destiny, going to heaven, was made for you. If you're saved, that's where you're headed. Your lifestyle has been chosen for you. God says to glorify Him. Your position in Christ has been chosen for you. You're His child. Your purpose in life has been chosen for you. God's will. God has a will for everybody's life. And many others could be listed to you. But do you know that you can choose to override God's leadership in your life? You can override it and not do it. You can do what you want to do. And you can fail, and you can mess up, and you can be sad, and you can have thousands of problems. May God speak to you and lead you and direct you this coming week. Isaac is a picture of this. He never chose where to live. God told him where to live. He never chose his wife. His father chose it for him, her for him. He never chose his occupation. God told him what to do. He made very few choices on his own. But there are some things that you and I have the freedom to choose. But we can override the Holy Spirit's decisions for us if we want to. First of all, you can override the choice of salvation. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. He wants everybody saved. I don't understand that Calvinistic thing of saying God's picked out certain people to be saved and the rest are going to hell. That's not a loving God that would do something like that. Doesn't even make any sense. How anybody could believe that when it doesn't make any sense. But choose salvation early. The longer you live in sin, the more scars you have to let God heal before you can be used much of God. Not many people get saved after becoming an adult. Wasn't long ago and I led a man 93 years old in Lyons, New York. 93 years old. Thought, that's a miracle. A miracle that somebody that old would repent and trust the Lord as their personal Savior. Now we can lead little children to Christ all day long, but adults, they're hard to reach. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2 tells us that now is the accepted time. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, then tonight is the night for you to get saved. When the invitation's given, you just slip out of your seat, and you come to the up here to the front, take the hand of one of the preachers up here in the front, tell them that you want to get saved. They'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be born again by the Spirit of God, and you can do that. I always found, though, when you're in the pew, that it's very hard to step out and come forward, but I've always found that if you take the first step, then they're pretty much easy after that. But you have to take that first step to come forward. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but you can all come to repentance. Now, you can't decide to reject Christ today and reap heaven tomorrow. You can't decide to do that. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let me encourage you to choose Christ. Choose salvation. Choose Christianity. And it's an urgent thing. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's no Savior that is designated for tomorrow, for tomorrow may not come for you. You may die before tomorrow. Even whether you're young or old, young people die and old people die. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow may be too late. If you make any other choice than trusting Christ, you've chosen death and destruction. Not only should you choose Christ to get saved, but you ought to, if you're not married, you need to choose the right wife or the right husband. Genesis 22:21 says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." You know, Adam didn't have any choice in all of this. I don't read in Scripture any place where he asked Adam if he wanted a wife. But God made him one. Now, if God hadn't have made him a wife, I wonder if he would have looked around for one. He might have married a monkey. Now, I've seen some guys that I think they might have almost chose a monkey to marry. Do you know when God made Eve, he married the most beautiful woman in all the world. He also married the smartest woman in all the world. He's probably the only one that has done that except me. I've been married 51 years, and she's beautiful to me. Thank God for that. And you know, you should see what you get when you wait on God. Amen. Ask my wife. Adam had no choice of who his mate would be, but God has picked out one for you. God has somebody that he wants you to marry, and you better not pick the wrong one. You better seek God's guidance. I've had a lot of young people come to me, 20, 25 years old, something like that or whatever, and they say, "Hey, met this girl and so on, and we want to get married, and I wanted to talk to you about it first. The thing is I don't remember anyone coming to talk to me about it before their mind was made up, except my own children. They already made their mind up before they ever came to see me. They wanted my approval on something that they'd already made their mind up about. But you need to seek guidance from your parents, and you need to seek guidance from your pastor in order whenever you pick a wife. And don't choose the wrong one. Man, if you choose the wrong one, you will be in a mess for your whole life. It really will be a bad mess. In fact, if you choose the wrong one, you may as well put Brother Dambrin's phone number in your quick dial, because you're going to need his help if you choose the wrong one. Divorce over 50% in America. Allow God to bring you the right one. You'll be happier your whole life if you just choose the right one. God has one for you. You say, well, how in the world do you find her? Well, you just pray. God answers prayer. He really will lead the right one to you and lead you to the right one. Pray about whom God wants you to marry, and God will lead you and direct you in your life on that. Do not date or go with anybody that's not the same doctrinal position that you are. If they don't think like you and don't believe like you, don't think that you're going to marry some girl and teach her that she ought to wear dresses later. That's dumb. Don't find somebody that's a Methodist or something and they're not Baptist, and you marry them and you're trying to make a Baptist out of them your whole life, and man, it's a mess. Get somebody that believes like you do. Don't lower God's standards just because you may have found whom you think is really a looker. After a few months, they're not quite as pretty as you think they are when they don't think like you think. Don't marry anyone thinking that he or she will change. It almost never happens. If you don't listen, you'll find that there's problems coming up for you in your life, and you'll probably never do hardly anything for God your whole life. You'll probably never live for God if you don't marry the right one. If you'll follow Bible principles, then God will bring your mate into your path. Also, your occupation. Acts chapter 9, 6, it talks about the Apostle Paul. He, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so Saul, whose later name changed to Paul, he got saved that day, and his occupation changed too. Lord, from the day he got saved, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And he was willing to follow God and change his whole life completely after he trusted the Lord, doing what God wanted him to do. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Surrender to God's will. And you'll be the happiest in life if you'll just surrender your life to the will of God. God, lead me and direct me and help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to go where you want me to go. Help me to be what you want me to be. If you want me to be a missionary, I'll be one. You want me to be a preacher, I'll be one. You want me to be a godly church member here at Fairhaven and serve God and so on here, then whatever God wants you to do, you do it. Choose a life of service. Give yourself to helping others. Help others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that even while I kneel and pray, my prayer shall be for others. I was riding down the road with my son David a few months ago, and I was kind of turned sideways in the chair of his seat a little bit, and then all of a sudden, David pulls off the road to the right. And I said, what's going on? He says, oh, there's a car broke down there. I'm going to see if I can help him. And so I get out of the car, and we get out. David gets out of the car, and we go back. Found out they run out of gas. A man and his wife ran out of gas. And we gave him a ride, to the gas station, and tried to help him and witness to him, of course, at the same time. But man, we ought to be servants. We ought to help one another. We ought to be people that can be look around and see somebody that needs some help and do it. Surrender to the will of God. Whatever God calls you to do, you'll be happy in that calling. God will not put you in a questionable position either. Don't sell any beer. Don't get a job where you have to sell beer and pornography and stuff like that. Most convenience stores have that kind of stuff that you have to sell. And you don't want to have any part of that. You say, well, I can't find a job anywhere else. Well, you're not much of a person if you can't find a job anywhere. I mean, I'm 71 years old. And I could go out, and before Wednesday night, I could have a job somewhere. It may not be the hourly salary that I want. I want $300 an hour. That's what I want, you know. But I may not be able to find a job that pays that, but I'll be able to find a job of some kind. And if you're a human being and you can't find a job where you can't honor God in that job, then you aren't looking very hard. You need to go out there and beat the pavement and do it. But God will not allow you to be in a questionable position where you have to compromise your Christian standards in order to work there. But whatever you do, choose to work hard. Work hard. My dad taught me to work hard. I taught my children to work hard. Around here at Fairhaven, if you're lazy, it'll come out pretty quick. It'll come out. People will say, man, that guy is lazy. Now, you ought not to be too critical of people, of course. But, it's just obvious if somebody's not doing anything at all. But teach yourself to work hard. Get out of bed and get out and do something. Do something. And then also, God wants you to choose the right entertainment. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You can have fun living for God. Most of what the world calls entertainment is sinful. And I'll tell you what, if you spend over 5 minutes on a cell phone game or something per day, then that's too much. You spend 4, 5, or 6 hours on a stupid game playing on a telephone, you are disobedient to the Holy Spirit of God. He's never called anybody to be a video game player. Or whatever you call those things that you do. You know, I'm not up to par on all of that modern stuff and so on. But I'll tell you what, God wants you to honor Him. If you've got that much time to play games, why don't you put that down, pick your Bible up, and read it 4 or 5 hours? Pretty soon you won't be interested in any video games anymore. Christians can't participate in non-Christian entertainment and please God. You just can't do it. You need to get involved here at Fairhaven if you're a member here and your teenager here, and come down here and get involved and just look up your youth director or Brother Leslie or someone and say, hey, I want to work today. Is there anything around here to do? He may have a tough time finding something, but there might be something for you to do around here. Christian fellowship, church-related activities, all of these kinds of things. And then God wants you to put some spiritual application into choosing what church He wants you to go to. So many Christians today are leaving good, fundamental, Bible-believing churches and going to one of these contemporary junk things, and where they don't have any music that honors the Lord, and ruining their children and children's life. You may be able to go there and it not affect you quite as bad as your kids, but your kids are going to grow up and be heathen. They may not even get saved, and they'll die and go to hell because you got mad about some stupid little thing. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 5 says, but unto the place which your Lord God shall choose out of all your tribes to put His name there, even unto His habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause His name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which ye vow unto the Lord. A Bible-believing Baptist church that stands for what's right, that of course uses the King James Version of the Word of God. A doctrinally correct Baptist church that has a soul-winning emphasis in their church. Man, you pick a good church so that you can serve God through your life and so on. I'd rather a church be doctrinally straight and not have all the things that some churches have for all of the teenagers and all the youth, then vice versa, a church that has right music and so on. So many parents say, well, they have more activities for the kids over there. What? You have more activities in Fairhaven? I mean, I can't hardly remember half of the announcements that Brother Parrish or somebody makes around here. So many things going on. that if I participated in all of those, then next time I go to China, they'd let me go down to bobsled. Paul required in music, said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do not choose a church because of the programs or the activities. Is the Bible taught? Is holy living emphasized? Is total dedication emphasized and required? Is it a church that's soul conscious? Is it mission minded? All of these great things that a church ought to have, but you ought to have a right church. You know, you ought to choose the right life, get saved. You ought to choose the right mate for your life. If you don't, you'll be a mess your whole life. Probably get divorced after a few years. If you don't choose the right profession, whatever God calls you to, you'll never make it successfully through this life. If you don't choose the right entertainment, you'll spend your life half in the world and one foot in church and one foot in the world. If you don't choose the right church, you'll never raise your kids for God. You never will. You ought to determine that you're going to raise your kids for God from the onset of having any children. And then I'd say in retirement, you ought to serve God in retirement. Don't go home and get in an easy chair and put your feet up on the easy chair and not do anything for God. Do you know that the average person after they retire lives 18 months? Because they get in an easy chair and sit back and lean, they don't do anything. And then they die. You here that are retired, you could be some of the greatest helpers, and many of you are some of the greatest helpers at here. And then, of course, you ought to choose to die right. Die right. Be right with God. Be right with God when you die. Plan ahead. Plan ahead.